we're getting you down.
The news depressing you.
Get a load of the Scapone Sound Off podcast
now.
It's what made me standing in a field in Finsbury Park in 92 with all the two-tone boys and girls. I am two-tone. That is what made me.
Hello, welcome to this week's Scapone Sound Off podcast with me, Mr. Paul Williams from the band The Scapones. And of course, this is episode 13. I am two-tone. Something a little bit different this week, really. Well, depends how you look at it, I suppose. You can look at the two-tone records and it's on, you know, its ideology and things like that. Then play a few tunes, not all the classics, of course. A lot more to two-tone than just what you saw singles and things like that, I think. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's we've had the anniversaries, haven't we? We've had the 40th anniversary and God forbid there'll be a 50th coming up. That could slow down. We opened the show there with a little short clip, and that was Gary Scurfield from the Northeast. Gary, a good friend of ours, lives in Washington, talking about the time he was stood in the field in Finsbury Park with the return of the great madness back there in the old mad stocks. Again, you could tell by the passion in his voice, you know, how much it meant to him and stuff like that. And that does. And it's not, I don't think it's, I just think that you know, people say, oh, it's an overreaction to things, and it's looking back at childhood through rose-coloured glasses and things like that. And it certainly isn't that. It certainly isn't that, because the majority of us back in when Two Tone came around were definitely, you know, we weren't having the life of Riley, and, you know, we were from council estates and God knows what else. And life certainly wasn't easy and wonderful and long summers and stuff. Well, all right, maybe one or two long summers. maybe. But it came, I think we've been very lucky. I know there's a few things that came after Two Tone, like the Britpop thing and stuff like that, but and the acid, whatever you want to call it and stuff, but and Manchester and all that. But, you know, I mean, there's something a little bit different about the Two Tone movement. I don't know what it is, and I can never, and I've been asked about it 1,000 times, and I still can't put my finger on it. It's a funny one, and you know, it's one of these things, like people say, you know, why do the Specials mean so much to you as your favourite band? I can't really answer. I can give you an answer, you know, hit me at the right time, as I was growing up, the right age, you know, and the right social surroundings and things like that. And that's about it. But there's more to it than that. It's a spiritual thing. It definitely is. I mean, that's, again, people think, oh, God, that's over the top statement. But I don't think it is. I think a lot of people have had the same experience. It's like, almost like a mass hysteria, almost. You know, and its popularity at this moment in time, even, you know, across the world, stands out as testament to the fact of its pop, you know, of what it meant to people. It's not just a fad. You know, there is a thing about getting to your middle ages and looking back and going back, you know, because a lot of people move on, you know, they're into Two Tone, it dies out, they move into Neuromantics, they don't listen to anything, they don't buy records, they get married and stuff like that, and time moves on. And then when the kids are a little bit more grown up and they've got a little more free time to themselves, they drift back in. And nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. Personally speaking, you know, I've been involved all the way through. It's just something I've wanted to do. You know, from doing discos when I was 16 and when nothing was happening, to be fair. You know, it's and then I went through all, you know, the Scar was always underground, you know, and stuff like that. And of course, was the late Scar boom of the late 80s, and then it bubbled around from the late 80s into the 90s. And the 90s are a fantastic time, actually, for the Scar scene, I think, personally, the Scar scene in this country. It was very much underground, but it was also busy, you know, and although we didn't have the advent of the internet and things like that. It was an amazing time, and we, you know, we kept in contact through letters and things like that, you know, fanzines, and then of course they did run a fanzine, which was very successful, and Street Feeling, bless it, My Little Baby, I enjoyed that, and obviously, you know, and then from then on the Specials book, and the rest is just what it is. But for me, it came, I was a bit lost, I come from a big family, I was a bit lost, and I needed something. I've always felt, a bit of an outsider of my own family. I always have done, probably still to this day, a bit of a black streak, to be honest. But so I was looking for something for myself, and Two Tone was it. Now, Two Tone came along at a very important time for me specifically, because we were into the Skinhead thing, of course. Of not the Rude Boy, we went straight to Skinhead with the Two Tone thing, and. You know, we used to go in town and mess around and cause trouble and stuff on a Saturday afternoon, and to, you know, sit in the cafe with the ghetto blasters blaring and the women tearing their hair out, trying to throw us out and having to call the police and stuff. Oh dear, we were so naughty. But, you know, and yeah, it's the whole, you know, and a lot of people have done that over their own lives and on afternoons. But we used to get a lot of marches in town at that time. Of course, don't forget there was the British movement, the National Front movement, moving through all the towns across the country in England and stuff like that, trying to recruit basically and spread their right wing media bullshit, and that way, and you know, we were often stopped and you know, come along with us, and will you do this and do that. And my epiphany, shall we say, is the word. We had no money. We came from nothing, and we had no money. So what we used to do, we were asked to sell this newspaper in outside the Woolworths in York one Saturday afternoon. Now, the newspaper, I didn't know what it was. They said, "We'll give you £20." £20 is a hell of a lot of money in them days, and they did. You know, they gave us £20, and we couldn't believe it. they weren't skinheads at Asda's and stuff like that. They were just blokes, and just tell they stand here from till 4 o'clock and sell them. And we sold none, but they give us the money for doing so. But I took one of them home, and funnily enough, I was listening to the specials at the time while I was reading it, and it's a National Front paper. That's what it was, a National Front paper. And I couldn't believe what I was reading. I was, you know, 13, and it hit me like a sledgehammer. And I just didn't get it. I couldn't understand what this was about, you know. And I think, I mean, like the soundtrack to your lives, I was listening to the first specials album. And, yeah, I don't know, it could have been Doesn't Make It Alright or something like that. And I just thought, this is bullshit. You know, 13 years old, I decided it was bullshit. Well, that's nothing big, nothing grand, you know, it's just... But I'm glad I had the presence of mind to do that for myself at that age, you know. And, you know, my own family, they were... Well, I don't know, you know. Not of the, shall we say, especially the older generation, not kind towards immigrants, shall we say. And I just couldn't, you know, and I started pulling them up on it. And saying, what are you saying, things like that for? You don't know about these people or anything like that. And they didn't like it at all, you know. But, so, because I didn't have that grounding from adults, the two-tone thing became a bit of a teacher, a bit of a surrogate parent almost. And, again, it sounds dramatic and it sounds overstated, but that's what it was for me. And that's not a joke. And that stuck with me throughout life. And you know, and we'll talk a bit more about the right wing and the connection to two-tone as we go on. But, you know, I mean, and that'll be the people across the country feeling exactly the same, you know. You know, I mean, if you look across at this little obscure record label from the Midlands, and it's, you know, I was talking with Hazard from the Rough Cuts, I think it was last week on a podcast, and he pointed it out, you know, it shaped his life, it shaped my life. And when you think about it, and we take it for granted. We've just gone through life and we've done what we've done. We've bought what we've bought. Whatever we've all done. Badges, records, been in bands, done whatever, gone to concerts and stuff. And we just get on with it because that's what we are. We get on with it. But when you stop to think about it and you actually think, shit. You actually think, oh my God. You know, this has a massive impact. It's probably has an impact on the way you think. It has an impact on the way you dress. It has an impact on the music you listen to. And things like that. So that, you know, I mean, this is massive, massive. Anything that can shape somebody's life is a humongous thing, a huge thing. And I often find it funny when I meet any of the two-tone brigade, you know, you talk to them and stuff like that, and they sort of laugh it off. You know, you say, oh, you did this, you did that. And they say, well, you know, it was a band I was in. I believe in what we sing about, but it was just a band I was in the job. And they don't seem to understand the legacy they have, I don't think. Which I find quite interesting, to be honest. But it really is. But it's a great attitude to have. It's a good outlook to have as well at the same time. You know, leave it to us to relish in its glory, I suppose. But it's got, you know, I mean, yeah, like I said, there was a lot of youth movements after that. But I think it was the last youth movement to really mean anything in the truest form. I mean, that could be just me being partisan. But I really, really do. And obviously, when you heard Gary open there with a few seconds, and he mentioned about being at Madstock, you know, and there'll be a lot of people like him and me and you, whoever's listening to this, and stuff like that. It really is amazing. And the effect it's had on people should never be understated, I don't think. But I'm always intrigued, you know. I mean, people say, why do you like the specials? But... And I still don't, you know, I still don't know what it is, why the offbeat and stuff like that does what it does to me, specifically, shall I say. And, you know, we carry that into, and we've learned a lot from watching the specials and in the Scapones, because, again, we're about shaping futures and stuff like that. In the Scapones, our songwriting is shaped by their attitudes and their own songs and what they've taught us. And we interpret that in what we see. Around us and stuff like that. You know, we may be in our 50s and stuff like that, but it doesn't mean we're less angry. I'm angry, and I know a lot of the band are about the way the world's going and the country and political situation and stuff. And, you know, I think one of the main things we've got to understand is, I've seen this a lot on social media, is people saying, oh, what's Ska got to do with politics? What's Two Tone got to do with politics? Well, I mean, that's the biggest pile of shit, isn't it? Because, you know, by its birth and by its inception and by what it does and by its being, you know, Two Tone specifically, is political. Ska is political, you know. It's you know. And, you know, I worry sometimes, at the moment, people just think it's a nice tune, you know, and it's a shame if that's how you think, because then, you know, you're missing out on the bigger picture and what it's all about, and it's, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, it'll be like that for everybody else, you know, that people have their own thoughts on it all and stuff like that. And you know, that's fair enough. That's completely fair for you, entitled to your own opinions and how you think and what it did for you. But for me, it's a bit more than a tune, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's you know, it's not like listening to Winner Takes or by ABBA or anything poppy or, you know, Modern Romance or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit more than a tune, isn't it? I think it's a great educational tool. And well, a lot of people often say, did Two Tone change anything? And I personally, for me, it did. For me personally, and I'm sure it did for others. But on a bigger scale, on a socio-political scale, it did a bit. I think it did a bit. I think it did highlight topics. It made people feel certainly uneasy in their approach, you know. I mean, if you look at things like the boiler, wow, you know, and doesn't get much more hard hitting than that, and to make people feel a bit edgy in the seats. So yeah, I think it did for a while, and I think, but it's, I also think it's a sorry state of affairs that in the year 2021, the things they were singing about in 1979 still are completely prevalent. You know, we've not really learned much from it, and that's a shame. It really is a shame. But, you know, like I said, I'm going to play a few obscure tracks. Not obscure tracks, just not the biggest ones and stuff like that. For me, of course, the Specials are my favourite band and stuff like that. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this little gem. One of the things about the Specials is I do love their hard edge, and that's what stands out for me. And this is why this track, which is not played enough in my eyes, is a classic for me. This is the wonderful Raquel.
Listening to the Scapone's Sound Off podcast. It's a message to you, Rudy.
Raquel, boom, boom, shagalaga, boom. Excuse me. And you're listening to the Scapone's Sound Off podcast, episode 13. I am Two Tone. excuse me. Sorry, got some fog in my gears. So that was, of course, Raquel, which showed us the Specials' pure punk edge to this, what made it stand out for me. For me, the finest band on Two Tone, the leaders of Two Tone, and nothing comes close. I don't think, you know, each band on Two Tone, of course, was special in its own right because it had its own distinctive sound. You had the Specials with their raw punky sound. Now, the Selector, on the other hand, had a hard edge, but they were a bit more deeper, dark and rootsy feel. Quite menacing, I thought the Selector could be really quite dark. And that was their forte. Madness, of course. Well, Madness and Madness, aren't they? They don't need, you know, Madness are what they are. You know, very clever musicians, very clever businessmen. And for me, the 40th anniversary, apart from the Specials going to number one with Encore album, Madness stole the 40th anniversaries of all the Two Tone bands because they absolutely smashed it with every single thing they had. And they're, you know, playing at the Electric, was it Electric Ballroom, I think it was, for £2.50, the same price as it was in 1979. Genius idea, absolutely genius it was. The beat were the most, I think, the most melodic, really, the most melodic out of the Two Tone bands. Their albums are absolutely fantastic. The singles were brilliant. I enjoyed General Public, which came from the Beat. And if you look back at the Beat of the last few years and stuff, obviously Rogers passed away, which we're all still reading from, I think. But his version of the Beat was the hard edge two tone sound of like I just can't stop it and things like that, and went down a storm. And he had so much energy. And the albums Public Confidential and the Bounce one, just brilliant, absolutely. Again, melodic and brilliant, and he had the energy to keep up the live shows. Dave Wakeley, on the other hand, with his English Beat, Dave's taken a different approach. Dave's become very soulful, very laid back, reggae, more than the ska and stuff. But you know, we supported them at Newcastle Academy, the O2 Academy. We were very lucky to support them there, and we've been chosen to support them on their 40th anniversary tour, which was supposed to be last year but being rescheduled for this year. Looking at the way things are going, we might not get there this year, which is a bloody well shame, but hopefully whatever happens, we'll be here to support Dave again across the North East and the North gig that we're going to be playing with them. I'm going to play you, we went on stage and did Mirror in the Bathroom with them. I managed to sing bits on vocals and stuff like that, which is like, you know, it's one of the things, isn't it? You know, it's like when you look across and, you know, there's Dave Wakeley and winking at you and, you know, getting you to go and do what you wanted to do. And I think, Jesus Christ, that's Dave Wakeley. Do you know what I mean? The 50-year-old man was like, yeah, this is cool. But the 13-year-old boy was like, oh my God, that's Dave Wakeley at the Beat. What am I doing here? And I had the same experience when we were on tour with the Specials as well. You know, and I still can't say it. I can't believe I'm still saying when we're on tour, especially when we're on tour with a Beat, we've played with Madness, and it's mental. I find it absolutely crazy. And the 13-year-old boy just cannot believe it. He cannot believe it. You know, I can remember being 13 and gazing out the physics room window at secondary school in York, where I went to, and the Specials have been playing Leeds now, where we were situated in York, which is the far the west side of York, and Leeds would have been about 20 minutes in a car from there. And I was thinking, should I just get in a bus? I never did. Unlucky, but yeah, it's so, you know, we're on tour with the Specials, and I remember soaking up the atmosphere, stood in the wings watching them. I think it was they were doing a Skatlights number at the time, Eastern Standard Time, Nimble was jumping around and stuff, and I felt a nudge in my ribs, and I turn around, and there's Terry Hall, and he points at Linville and says, look at him, he thinks he's a right comedian, doesn't he? I just burst out laughing, and Terry says, right, I'm coming on now, I'll make way for the real comedian. That was it. And it's just surreal, absolutely, utterly surreal. And whoever's up there looking out for me or running my life, shall I say, thank you very much for that, because that was one of those, you know, moments in life that I'll never ever forget. And it was a fantastic opportunity to play with bands who we've grown up with. Madness, like I say, Madness have got their own style, and they were very clever what they did. People complain about being too poppy, but it's not just about being too poppy. Madness knew how to play the game, and Madness knew how to you know, do stuff right. For me, you know, they never gave up. you know, they would lilt back into reggae songs at times and stuff like that. They never dropped their sort of roots and stuff. But there was more madness than just cigar and reggae. You know, they were very much into the pub rock thing and Ian Dury and, you know, a bit of rock and roll and stuff like that, you know, and that is distinctive all the way through Madness's career. And, you know, I just think, you know, my hat's off to them. I think what they've done, especially the last few years since they've come back, has been phenomenal. Well done, lads. And I think it's brilliant. I really do. The Body Snatchers were one of the bands I would really love to have an album from. I know they recorded some stuff that have been released from the Peel sessions and stuff. But I really would love to produce a solid produced studio album from them. I'd like to have seen them gone on do a bit more. I'd like to see how they did would have evolved. I mean, they exploded into the Bell Stars, obviously. And Rhoda went and joined the Special AKA after Special split. But, you know, again, the Body Snatchers were definitely one that I would love to hear. The Swinging Cats. I can't work out the Swinging Cats. Mantovani has never been my bag. The track that they released on Two Tone has never been my bag. So I've always found it a little bit weird. But the B-side, Away, for me, obviously it's got the Scar beat in it, but it's just a better song. I'll put that as the main song, to be honest. I'd like to see more of it. I mean, I've seen some other stuff of them performing live all on the Sunday and things like that. And I'd like to see more of them. I really would. So it's a shame that they did the one. They did come back briefly, I think, in the 2009, 2010 time, with a brief lineup with Shipley and what have you. But it wasn't to be. It wasn't to be. So there we go. Rico, of course. Well, Rico's Rico, isn't he? You know, whatever he does is brilliant. that's how I see it. Anyway, do you know what I mean? We'll be hearing a bit of Rico later because he's superb, you know, and stuff like that. I'm going to give a couple of minutes over now to a friend of ours, Mr. Phil Smith. Phil's a very good friend of mine, and a very good, strong supporter of the Scapones and the Specialized Project, and does a lot of work for us and stuff. He's going to tell you about his Two-Tone experience. Take it away, Phil.
So, Two-Tone. What does Two-Tone mean to me? Well, I grew up on a council estate in the late 70s as a kid. With two brothers who were listening to Supertramp, Status Quo, things like that. And then one day I saw A Rock Goes to College. They were usually watching that. And there was Rock Goes to College on one day. In this amazing, energetic band called The Specials Run. In these fantastic suits, so much energy. And they looked like kids I was at school with. There was black kids in there. There was white kids in there. They looked a little bit rough and ready. Sort of the kids that I was going to school with. And I'd never seen that before in the likes of Supertramp and Status Quo. There was no one I knew who looked like that. And I immediately knew that I could relate to this. It was music that I liked. I'd heard other kids playing it at school. And I'd seen other kids at school already wearing the uniform, the Stay Press and the tonic suits and the ties and the pork pie hats and whatever. And it's just stuck with me. It was just something that instantly called out to me. This is my band. My brothers had their bands, and that's fine. But this was my band. This was what I liked, and it stayed with me ever since. Politics-wise, of course, I had black friends. I had white friends. They were mixing. We were mixing. We didn't know anything. We didn't know any different. Didn't know any different at all. And there they were on stage. These kids, crazy kids. So much energy, boundless energy, Linville, Neville, Roddy, everybody, so much energy, you didn't know where to look. It was amazing. So I then sought out other bands. I'd seen other kids in Selector shirts and things like that, and Beat, and I thought, yeah, this is good, this is great, this is what I want to be. 40 years later, has it stuck with me? Undoubtedly. Politics-wise, I haven't changed. I've seen no reason to change. You know, a person's a person, regardless of their colour. The colour of their skin means nothing to me. There's good people, there's bad people. There's bad people who do good things, there's good people who do bad things. Colour of the skin means nothing to me. But yeah, it's stayed with me. You have a look around, the memorabilia I've got in this house. Luckily, I've 40 years out of it. 40 years, still listening to fantastic music. There's some fantastic bands who are, you know, obviously inspired by the Two-Tone movement, even now, some great music now coming out. That's me. That's my experience of Two-Tone. It's stayed with me for 40 years, and I don't ever want it to stop.
Lovely stuff, lovely stuff. Thanks for that, Phil. Awesome stuff. So there you have it. You know, it's not just me that's been affected in certain ways by this wonderful, insanely brilliant creation that is Two Tone Records, or whatever you want to call it, the Two Tone Movement, whatever you want to call it, and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's very popular at the moment, and like I say, a lot of bands, original bands and stuff, you know, always cite bands of, not just bands that are into the ska and reggae scene or ska core, ska punk scenes or anything, you know, a lot of other outside influences, people like Tricky and Primal Scream stuff, are all inspired by the Specials, and it's always in their music, as you well know. And and so that, again, that just shows you the size of the legacy of the bands and stuff that they did. And like I say, they still don't believe that, you know. Yeah, that's good. It's good that's happened. Good you thought like that. It's good we did this. It's good that we did that. But they just don't get it. But I think I find it cute. I find it cute. I really do. I find it cute. But you know, there's strong lyrics. For me, it's the lyrics and stuff like that. Great tunes, but with fantastic lyrics. You know. They've all got, especially in the Specials, the distinctive styles. Jerry Dammers is very socio-political. Bradbury was socio-political. Linval was like social commentary, but his was more heartfelt. There's tracks like Do Nothing, and you know, if you listen to on the Specials' Guilty Till Proved Innocent album, My Tears Come Falling Down Like Rain, you know, these are all archetypal Linval Goldin style songs. And of course, Do Nothing is an absolute classic. And stuff like that. A lot of people have said that adding the ice rink string sounds by Jerry Dammers ruined the track. The jury's out on that for me. I'm not quite certain, but you know. And Roddy, of course, Roddy Radiation, written some of the band's bangers, as they say, hasn't he? Concrete Jungle Rat Race and Hey Little Rich Girl. Well, I mean, speaks for itself. You know, that's a legacy on its own. And you know, Amy Winehouse and other famous people going on to record his tracks. It must be a buzz for him, you know. It's got to be a buzz. And if you don't get a buzz from that, then you're fairly much a long time dead, really. That's what I think. My other pet thing is a thing again. That's really, again, it's the advent of social media, and it's worrying. It's not worrying, but you know, you just see it and you think, which bit don't you get? Especially the times at the moment we've got Brexit and stuff like that, and the COVID-19 pandemic and stuff. The country's very, very split. It has been since the Brexit vote, and it's just got worse and worse and worse. You know, I mean, personally speaking, I'm a political person, or left to centre, and I do get involved in online stuff, and maybe I shouldn't, but I get angry, and it's a passionate outlet for me, and as is writing lyrics and stuff, which is what I do. But that's just the way things are and stuff like that. But what gets me is that I've been trawling through a lot of the ska pages, ska related pages and groups and stuff. And again, this thing's come about the you know, keep politics out of Two Tone. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And what's worrying more than anything else is that if you go back to as far as 79 and the original Two Tone boom, was the fact that even then, you know, it was a big known fact that the right wing were infiltrating the gigs. Special had lots of trouble, Madness had trouble, Selector had trouble, specifically. And, you know, and so basically these have grown up. The people that were doing that sort of thing at that time have grown up, and their attitudes haven't changed. And, you know, when we take, for instance, the BLM song on the Encore album, and the BLM movement, and Linval's quite outspoken about it, and they're just not, obviously people think differently, but my, you know, for me, they're just not thinking about the bigger picture. It's simple as that. You know whether we come from council estates where things were rough and stuff like that, we still have had, we do have a thing called white privilege, we do. And you know, we've, you know, We you know, the black community and things like that have had it harder, you know, from a similar background, from estates and blocks of flats and stuff, and they have had it harder. And they, you know, and I've seen it in action. You know, we've been in a gang many years ago. We had one black member with us and stuff, and he was the one that was signalled out by police when, you know, he hadn't done a thing, to be honest, but they singled him out straight away. You know, there was more vociferous people in the group. But you know, and I don't understand why, and I didn't understand it then, why you would pay good money to go see Multicultural Outfit singing songs, left-wing songs even, about multiracial harmony and things like that. You know, why would you? Why would you? Why do you? You know, is it? I can't personally separate the tune and the lyrics sort of thing. I don't. Oh, it's, you know, ska music needs up Mother Brown Band Manners sort of music and ska and stuff. I don't get that. I don't get that in a million years. And I can't. And even now, I don't get it. And Madness are very political. Madness have always been political and very clever at dressing up things like Blueskin Beast and what have you and Michael Caine and things like that. And but you know, they're one of their recent releases was called the Bullingdon Boys. Taking a swipe at the Eton crowd, Boris Johnson, Cameron, everybody. And, you know, they've got right-wing fans who just don't get it. Mike Varson's very left-wing. Comes from, you know, I think his mum was in the Communist Party, I think, or something like that. But, you know, and obviously that's on the far left. But it's this thing about saying keep politics out of it, but the stuff is political. That I don't understand it. It's all political. And if you're still paying good money to go see multiracial bands, if you're still spending money on records of multiracial bands, and you think that BLM and everything else is crap, and you know Boris Johnson's a wonderful person, and the way to, you know, and you blame immigrants for everything, then what the hell are you doing? Because it's certainly not for you. And that's my own personal opinion. And stuff like that, and I'll just never understand why you would get involved in something, promoting something that you just don't believe in. I just don't get it. But that's just me, or is it? I don't know. Maybe you could say, I don't know. But anyway, off the soapbox, and let's get on with a bit more music. I think we played the Specials, of course, obviously there. So I think we have a bit of Slayers now, and this is probably my favourite song off Too Much Pressure. This is the wonderful Out on the Streets.
Make a connection.
like your ska music?
Then listen to the Scarpone's Sound Off podcast. Pick it up.
There you go, that was a selector. Now, of course, the band went to America in the early 80s to try and crack it and break it and stuff like that, and the specials were going quite well until Jerry Dammers was asked at a interview at the Whiskey Go Club in Los Angeles at a press conference there how the American how he was doing in America, how the American tour was going, and Jerry said he'd had more fun on a school trip to Russia. Ooh, that didn't, the Americans didn't take that quite kindly to heart. And they decorated the club in Teuton Squares, I think it was. And pretty much once that was done, the special did their 2-day stints there. They had two shows a night, two or three nights, I think it was. The album dropped out the charts quickly, and there was no promotion by the Chrysalis department in America. And so it was going all right until then, you know what I mean? And recently the Scapones played their US tour over there, and we played at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles, and to stand on the same stage as the specials, and you know, we've seen the pictures and looked it in, and it's just, again, another amazing lifetime moment, and we're very, very grateful for whoever's looking after us, really, like I said, great experience. But Selector went to America, and Madness went to America, and although the bands went down well personally in the crowds and stuff like that, they didn't really do much at the time. So the specials did best out of all three, but it's only now that you realise what sort of impact they've had on America. America's got a fantastic ska scene at the moment, and a lot of the bands are all inspired by Teuton and doing their own takes. A lot of original sounding skinhead reggae style bands there. It really is fantastic stuff. And well, you know, on a podcast we might do a bit about American ska, because it is flipping fantastic, is what I say. It's just not confined to the UK. The whole two-tone phenomena is a worldwide thing. And now, even at this moment in time, I mean, the world's got a lot smaller with the internet. That's a definite fact. And, you know, plane trips are quick and cheap. And nowadays, you can fly, you know, wherever you want. And, well, you can't at the moment, obviously, but you could. I think, you know, so again, you know, the legacy is huge. You've got two-tone bands. You know, I couldn't believe there was two-tone inspired ska bands in Russia. I couldn't believe they were in Indonesia. I couldn't believe they were, you know, Chile and places like that. I mean, what is that about? It's absolutely crazy. But, you know, so there you go. That just proves, you know, the band has the movement, the label, whatever you want to call it, the ideology and everything, you know, is ingrained across every continent and major countries across this world. And it's, you know, back in 79, you know, it's confined to the British Isles. You know, it was amazing, absolutely amazing. And this is just the size of the whole two-tone thing is absolutely massive. It really is. And we're getting some great bands out of it, and that's what keeps this scene thriving. So two-tone's got a lot to answer for. When the Scapones recently toured America, we were helped a lot by a friend of ours, Mr. Bobby Rubin. Bobby's fluent in a few languages and stuff like that, so he's very much a big help when we were over there. He was great at ordering taxis and in Spanish and things like that. But Bobby is a big ska fan. He is a big fan of the English Beat, or the Beat, and Dave Wakelin. He likes Madness and people like that. And he became involved with the Scapones as a fan and stuff like that. And we've got to meet him while we're over there. And like I say, he looked after us really, really well and stuff like that. So, but I'm going to bring Bobby on to talk about his two-tone experience briefly. And then we're going to listen to a track from Madness. Is what it is, from Madness, an album track, which is from the album Absolutely, by the way. You can guess which one it is. And this is Bobby's experience of what the two-tone and ska, British ska, whole thing meant to him. So, hello, Bobby. Are you there?
Hello, everyone. And it's been 40 years of two-tone since back in 79. But what does that mean? What does two-tone mean to me? Let me put it like this. It means that when I'm at a ska show, I'm with my people. People who believe in love and unity. People who are anti-racist and anti-fascist. People who want to celebrate life by dancing to the music. People who may or may not be into the fashion often associated with the two-tone subculture, and who love you whether you are or are not into that same fashion. People who care about others, and most importantly, People my age who see the young getting younger, but are still out there on the dance floor. Two-tone is a way of life for life.
That was Bobby, and of course that was Bobby, and that was Madness, not together, well, sort of, but that was of course Disappear, which is my favourite track off the Absolutely album. Absolutely love it. See what I did there? See what I did? Anyway, moving on. It's great that how things have changed as through the generations as well, because I was talking about this to my lad the other day about my humour's off the wall, and I'm always joking and pulling faces and making daft noises at home, and I drive everybody mad. And, you know, I'm not really growing up and stuff like that, but my parents are very straight-laced, and a lot of parents of my friends were all very straight. You wouldn't see anything like that from them. But we're, we're our generation, the older generation's 50-plus, you know, we're going out more, we're seeing bands, and so our parents didn't really do that. And we're in a, due to the Two-Tone's legacy, the fact that these bands can still be around shows again how popular it is, and stuff like that. So we, at our age, we're lucky we can see. Unfortunately, we can't see Rankin Rudge with the Beat anymore, but we did see the Beat. We can see Dave Wakeman's Beat. We're still seeing Madness. We're still seeing the Specials. We still see Selector. We still see Band Manners, and you know, people like Rhoda Dakar's going around as the Body Snatchers and things like that. And that's great that we can do that at this age, you know, and stuff like that. But the thing is, I'm having another gripe here. I'm going to have another gripe. The thing is, you know, again, through the aspects of social media, there's a pattern forming with this. People are starting to tear some of the bands to pieces, and I don't get it. I don't understand why the special, you know, the specials, right? Let's take the specials, right? Whether you like it or not, the specials, apart from Madness, are one of the only bands that contain at least half the band, virtually half that band, right? They can't do anything about John Bradbury. John passed away. There's nothing they can do about God bless him, right? Roddy and Neville left, okay? By their own hands. Now, but they still put on a great show, and they're still bringing in crowds and signing out tours across the world. And some of the disrespect I've seen on social media is maybe really sad and stuff like that. And same, you know, and they're all giving this, you know, Slater, and that's not the specials, it's a tribute band, blah, blah, blah. But, it, you know, but people will still go see the Slater where there's only two people and enjoy it. People will still go see Bad Manners where there's only one and enjoy it. People go see The Beat, there's only one, they will enjoy it. You know, I don't get it. I just why? Why? And the town, and it's like, it's almost like fishwives over a fence, isn't it? You know, it's like, you know, they want to know the ins and outs, you know, and this thing where they listen to some ex-members' stories and stuff like that. But band politics, for me, are band politics. That's for the band to discuss. It's not to go, it doesn't need to be in the open. We don't need to hear it, to be honest. You know, we know our bands have, you know, being the Scapones, I know how it goes, and you bang heads and you argue and things like that. But that's just the nature of being around people all the time and stuff like that. It's like living in a family, you know, you do it at home. But it's just a matter of disrespect that I don't like. And you know, these are artists who are, like we've just been talking about through this whole program, have shaped people's lives and stuff like that. So why on earth you want to tear Terry Hall to pieces, tear Horace Pannett or Linval Goldin or anybody else, is beyond me. And again, it extends again to people like Paul Weller and think, you know, Paul Weller's a lyrical musical genius. It's not my cup of tea. I don't go around buying jam singles, but I do like a lot of jam. I like a bit of style, and I do like some of the Weller stuff. I probably wouldn't. Would I go and see him in concert? I wouldn't go out of my way to go see him in concert, but if someone took me, I would go. Yeah, cause and I'd probably enjoy it. But yeah, you can't. I don't understand this bringing these people down. You know, if they've shaped your lives, like you said, why are you interested in being on one person's side and not the other? I don't understand it, and I never will understand it. You know, you should have respect for what they've done and the amount that they've done. That's my personal opinion, but, you know, who am I to say? And it's a shame that people feel the need to do so. You know, and it's often unfortunate the same people don't understand why politics are involved in ska, unfortunately. But, you know, there you go. There's nothing you can do about that, is there? But anyway, enough of that, and let's get some more music playing, I think. We had Disappear there, so I'm going to play a bit of The Beat now. And this is Doors of Your Heart. Although it was a single, I wasn't going to play any mainstream stuff, but this is a cracker. I love the Doors of Your Heart. It's a beauty song, a beautiful song. Here it is. This is The Beat, Doors of Your Heart.
I lose my head as a feeling.
the thing, you know, all good things come to an end, as they always do in life. And, you know, when the specials split for me, I remember going home and reading about it in a newspaper while I was eating my tea. Fish fingers it was. I still remember it to this day. And I felt like my stomach had been kicked in. I couldn't believe it. I thought, what am I going to do? Really, because as I said early on, and I wasn't over dramatising it when I said how much they were like a surrogate parent to me because I didn't have that sort of upbringing. So, you know, what was I going to do? What was I going to listen to? You know, I don't know what I was going to do, you know. And so, of course, as time went on, you know, the special AK and stuff, and you know, and what a way to go out. I mean, Ghost Town, you know, on its own. Ghost Town on its own. It's what a way to go. Go out the top. That's the best way of doing it, to be honest. But, you know, we had great things, the special AKA and the Funboy 3 and whatever came after that, you know, same with Madness and the Selector, Pauline Blackwood solo, you know, and you know, I think it was only Bad Manners really carrying the torch, wasn't it, really? I remember listening to Blue Summer, I think it was Blue Summer 83, 84, something like that, possibly 84, I think. And I think Nick Welsh, a good friend of ours as well, joined Bad Manners about 85, 86, I think, something like that. And he revived their career a little bit with his songwriting skills and stuff. And of course, they really have carried the torch. And I think that's why Bad Manners do well now. I think people realise at the shows and stuff that people realise that they were the only ones to carry on straight through, and which they were, you know, good for bad or not. And not really some of the later stuff wasn't very good, to be honest. But I think the Heavy Petting album was probably the last thing I liked, really. Have they done anything since then? I'm not quite sure. But Buster is Buster, and he's a character, and he will always bring the crowds in. And I think people turn out in their droves because they remain loyal to what they were all about. And I think people see Manchester going off, as I said, has been poppy and stuff, but I think Manchester are very clever, like I say, and stuff like that. But you know, you've got the Selector have come back and released a couple of albums. Again, hats off to them. It's fantastic that they can do that sort of thing, and that's what it's all about. It makes it you know, little, from a personal point of view, again, I think they miss Neil Davis's guitar, his hard rock guitar. It all becomes a little bit bouncy, poppy and stuff, but you know, it's harmless stuff and people like it, and that's all really, that's all that matters, isn't it? And stuff like that. The specials, of course, Encore. I like Encore. I like the fact that it's a very grown-up album. I like it's a dark album and stuff like that. I think the addition of Sophia Khan was a genius. If this is the band as it is in 2021, if this band's going to move forward, do anything, and they want to move forward, I thought, you know, they were being progressive, and that's, you know, you look at all the specials albums, all of them. If you look at the difference between the more specials and the first specials album, is huge, and it is huge. Although the sort of side one of more specials is to keep the Scar fans happy, side two is a different kettle of fishing entirely, and you could just listen to that and you could see which way Damas was taking the band, you know. And if you look at his later big thing, the orchestra, the Special AKA orchestra, the specials were always going to be that big, you know. He expanded the band, I think, to encompass about 16 people before it split originally in 81. Sorry, I'm a bit running. And so yeah, you know, he was always going to go that way. But even he reinterpreted some classic special stuff like Ghost Planet and stuff like that. I'm going to play a bit of that, I think, later. And, you know, so, yeah, you know, it is a great, great thing. And, you know, and Two Tone went and limbled on after it split a bit. We got the bands like the Higgins and the Paul Nerds, because Damas was writing to his funk at the time. And, yeah, I think, I mean, Run Me Down by the Higgins was a good release. I think the two Paul Nairs ones were great. Not my kettle of fishes musically, but I can see what he was doing. I can see what he was doing. He's trying to keep up with the times as well. That's another thing. He was trying to keep up with the times because, you know, Scar wasn't the flavour of the day when all this was going on. But then, of course, you got Rico and especially AK themselves, you know, chipping in. And of course, Nelson Mandela. You know, would Derry Danvers had, you know, Nelson Mandela written, had the specials not split? We just don't know, do we? We just don't know. But you know, there's so it's always had this political highlighting, but delivered in a cracking tune. And sometimes, like I said, I think people miss that, and that's a shame. But that, you know, so it's had its moments. You know, the Selector. I mean, the Selector reformed in the 90s with Neil Davis and Pauline Black taking it with Martin Stewart and Nick Welsh and Bad Manners. I know John Bradbury from the Specials played with them for a while and stuff like that. They released lots of stuff. You know, the Trojan Songbook albums, the Pucker album, the Happy album, things like that, and Hairspray, and it was awesome stuff. It was great times, and you know, because you had the International Beat, and which was Tony B and Saxa and Ranking Roger Player with them and Everett Morton. It's always been there, churning around in the background, and what we see now is a result of that, really. You know, all these, it's like from the Jam, and which started out as The Gift, and has become this thing with Bruce Fox, but they're writing their own stuff as well. I don't like the name. I don't like the name From the Jam. I don't like the From the Anything. You know what I mean? I think that's a bit of a marketing mistake, to be honest. I know you've got to sell yourself, but if you know, people should know who you are. And you know, if you are going to write new stuff, just get on with it and do it, and be proud of what you do. But that's my opinion again, you know. But like I say, a lot of good things come to an end. But and they all went off and did their own thing, and I've come back to it again. I don't know, this is like 30-year revolution thing that goes round and round, and every 30 years it gets revisited again. I don't know, but maybe that's just the way it is with the world, because I mean, a lot of the bands are going through the same thing, you know. And it's like the Bill and Ted film, isn't it? You know, they've come back and done the third one. I didn't realise how old they actually looked. It's a bit shocking, really. But we're all getting old. And on that note, this is the wonderful, the outstanding Mr. Rico Rodriguez with the wonderful Jungle Music. Take it away, mate.
Talking about, you say you don't like the jungle.
freaks. You're listening to the Scapones and their Sound Off podcast.
I think another thing as well is that a lot of us now, whereas like I was talking about in the 90s when in the, on the underground ska scene, two-tone scene, you know, we all kept in contact by seeing each other at concerts or writing actual penned letters, you know, that sort of thing, postcards. You know, the sort of the good aspect of social media is that we, the sort of family and support network has grown, and a lot of people have made some great relationships and great friendships, including myself, out of it. And that's the positive side of social media, completely, absolutely. And that's where it works to a T, the networking side. And it's great, you know, and it's enhanced the fandom, shall we say, the fan base, whatever you want to call it. And you know, now we talk to friends in Mexico, Argentina, you know, instantaneously. It's great. Australia. And, you know, and that's where, for me, social media really is top of its game and stuff like that. But it's also brought, you know, a great, you know, I'm a co-administrator on the Specials Fan Forum. And that's been around since, the early 2000s. And at least 20 years. And, you know, it's... And that was the only thing online at the time there, the forum. There was nothing else. But now there's everything. I know the bands have come back, so they do have their own websites and stuff like that. But now there's so much stuff on there. And it's great now we're getting rare footage. I'm a collector. I collect the rarer the better for me. And I'm very lucky to own some very, very rare pieces. It's taken me 30 years to track some down and stuff like that, but I've got them. And, you know... do you know what I'm going to do? I wasn't going to do this, and this is quite a rare thing. I'm going to play you one of my rarest pieces. This is the first ever mix, actually, of Gangsters. Now, this was not released. It is different. If you know your Specials, you know your Gangsters, if you know what it's all about and what it sounds like, you will hear the difference. It's a massive difference. The guitar drops out a little bit on the riff and stuff like that, and you just go down to Horace's bass and stuff like that, but it's a lot different. I'm going to play that. I'm going to do it right now. I am. So this is part of my collection. This is the Specials, or the Special AKs they were with Gangsters, unreleased mix. I got this in a special quiet private deal. The wife thinks it was 70 quid, but it's a little bit more. Shh. Yeah, it's one of my greatest things, and it's handwritten on the label in Jerry Dammer's writing, Jerry's copy, first press. So that's brilliant. That's a bit like the Holy Grail for me, really. The bass is booming. Horace mentions the bass about the first ever recording the Gangsters and how the bass boomed and threw the stylus off the record and stuff like that. It absolutely booms. But this is great just to warn. This is fantastic. And here it is for you. This is a rarity for you. This is the unreleased version of Gangsters. Check it away.
Now it's you.
men talking amongst themselves.
You've got the Scapones Sound Off Podcast.
There you go, there you go. That's Unreleased Gangsters, can you believe it? Yeah, so like I was saying, you know, the fandom, the fan base and friendships that have blossomed from social media and stuff is fantastic. And again, you know, we can see all these the whole world sometimes in the way we move around social media stuff. You actually think the world is two-toned because there's so much of it. You know, we mentioned it being in Chile and places like that, and South America, and Indonesia, Russia, Australia, New Zealand, everywhere. And it is blooming everywhere. And I love it. And I love finding new things and stuff like that. And I can tell you that the Scapones have recorded, or will be recording, a track with Los Chiclets from Mexico. They're doing a cover of In the City by Madness, and we're going to help with that. So that's great. So it keeps in the two-tone family, so to speak. They're a great little band. There's loads and loads of great two-tone inspired bands, and. You know, in fact, we could do a show to two-tone inspired bands and stuff like that. And, you know, it'd be a 10-hour long podcast or something like that. It's ridiculous. But all these people, the thing is, all these people have had their lives shaped by this ridiculous little label and this movement, you know. And I remember Jerry Dammers once said that to be a part of two-tone, or be a member, whatever you want to call it, he saw it as a club, and all you had to do was like the music to be a member of that club. And he's right, absolutely right. When we were kids, you know, we would go to different towns. York was a bit of a backwater for buying stuff, so we'd go through to Leeds on the train, and we've got Leeds Market because it's all specials t-shirts and specials badges. Oh, it's fantastic. And I can remember the shaking of the excitement of buying this stuff that you could never find. I was, you know, to get home and sew it on my jacket and my iron and stuff, and it, you know, and it was just fantastic. And seeing other people there, and although you're in different towns, if they saw you wearing a hat with a special store, you get the nod, or people stop and talk to you. You know, it was like that. You know, it was really was like that. And now, you know, I've even seen it when the specials came back in 2009, and then, because really everything's really exploded since that, with the specials coming back in 2009, really has caused a massive scar explosion across the country and across the world, for me personally speaking, and stuff like that. And And again, you know, stopped in the streets. You're going to specials, gig, blah, blah, blah. And you come and have a drink with us. And that I love. That's the one side of it I absolutely love. And it's great. It's great. Especially as you get older as well. And, you know, you make more new friends, you know. And some people have made really strong relationships out of it and friendships out of it. And people have actually got married. I mean, I for me, it includes myself. I met my wife on Remember MySpace, in the days of MySpace, aye. And, you know, she was into a bit of music and then stuff like that. And we went from there, really. And, you know, I had her as a friend on MySpace. And it was a while before we chatted, I think. And we just got chatting and it went from there, really. And here we are, and now with children, and so it's again, you know, the scene is responsible. The actual scene, Scar and Two-Tone, is responsible for my marriage. Again, it is shaping everything in my life completely. I never even think about it, but when you stop to think about it, you'd go mad, because that's what it's like. And I'm sure it's the same for many, many of you out there as well. Tell you what, let's have some more musical interlude, a bit more Two-Tone for you. Right, so I think we're gonna go. Let me think. I'll tell you what we're gonna do. We're going to play, this is Hiawatha. Hiawatha, yes. Of course, it was a song by the Bellstar as well, wasn't it? But this is the Body Snatchers version. Oh, yeah. I love this. Take it away, chaps.
brother and forget your national pride.
Listening to the Scapone's Sound Off podcast. It's a message to you, Rudy.
That was the Body Snatchers with Hiawatha.
Hiawatha!
I love that. Love it. Well, we're sort of coming to the end of this podcast. You know, it's something a little bit different this week. There's many loads of different ways we can approach it, but it's already been done. So I was just going to ramble, which is pretty much what I've done with the help of my friends, but so to speak. But you know, it's easy to see how this little obscure label in the Midlands has changed things for everybody. I know, you know, in the music scene and stuff like that. I mean, I'm personally in the mid 50s, and the rest of the band are, and you know, it's still having its effect. Certainly, in the, like I mentioned, in writing lyrics and songs and stuff like that, it does, and it happens in many bands of you know, across the country. There's far more to. A lot of people think ska's just a knees up, and that's great. You can have that. That's not a problem at all. But I also think it's got something to say itself, personally, and to people, and it's a great way of highlight. Music should be able to change things. Music can change things. Music should highlight things. You know, it's a powerful, powerful tool. It really is. And I hope it continues to do that. And, you know, for anybody who wants to strike out and make people, you know, rap and hip hop and stuff like that, hard hitting, they make people squirm in the seats with some of the lyrics and stuff. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's social lyrics. And, you know, we are in this all together, and just wish we had a bit more unity on the front, especially in the two-tone scene. You know, it needs, it's, you know, it, two-tone, it is unity, come together, you know, and that's what it's all about. And I hope that prevails in the end. Whether it will or not, I do know, probably not, you know, the way the world works. But let's not be negative, because it's brought far more positives than it has negatives. You know, we've got all these bands still on the go, and especially about recording a new album. Madness will probably knock out a new album, because they will, that's what they do. I'm sure we'll get something from other people, but it's been a wonderful ride, hasn't it? It's been a wonderful ride, a 40-year ride. I can't believe 40 years has passed, and I'm sure a lot of you can't. One of our songs, of course, is Doreen's Going Grey, which is written with our friend Bobby there. Bobby on lyrics, and we did the tune and stuff like that. Celebrating, you know, talking about being an old ska fan, and you know, we're not dead yet. The youngsters may be filling up the dance floor, but we can still cut a rug, as my nana used to say. And stuff. We're not dead yet. We can still do it. We still got it, and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, we're still life in the old dogs yet. There really is. We're all getting on a little bit. You know, the knees are creaking a bit more. It might take 2 or 3 days to get over a good concert and a good drink. But, you know, the life and spark is still there. And I do firmly believe it's responsible. The fact we've been listening to great music over a long period of time. I do. I think it helps keep you young. I think it keeps a great positive mental outlook. I know I use music as almost like psychotherapy. If I'm in a bad mood or a storming, raging mood, I'll put something heavy on. It's always Concrete Jungle Live normally. But I do. And, you know, I like listening to everything and reggae and stuff like that. And it is mood music. And I just think it's affected us that much. It's had that much effect that it's kept us young. Not so much young, but young at heart. That's what I think. And long may it continue to do so. It's a wonderful music. Two-tone is fantastic. You know, it is a genre of ska. It is its own genre of ska. We've got ska punk, ska core, whatever you want to call it. It is its own genre of ska. You know, a lot of people, some people deride it. I don't get it. I never will. You know, let's just enjoy it for what it is. You know, same with the reggae scene, same with ska, punk, whatever it is. It's all there for, it's all there for its own reasons, and it can give us all a bit of joy. We should all celebrate in everything that's good within the family, so to speak. I hate to use the word family, but that's, you know, in the community. Sorry, the community that we move in. But, you know, it's a massive thing. And again, I'll emphasize the fact that the legacy that this label has and the movement has is something I don't think has been repeated. I don't think it reflects in the Britpop era. I could be wrong. I don't think it reflects in anything else. I really don't. I mean, I could be looking at, as you say, if the rose tinted glasses, and if I am, I am. Or what you, if you think I am, I am. But for me, it's not. And I think, and I see it around me, and I take it all and I soak it all up. I like to people watch, I like to see what people are saying and what they're doing and stuff like that. And you know, you can see it, and you still see it. And there's nothing better for me to see a 55-year-old man gushing about his music and what it's done for him and stuff like that. I think it's great, and it shows a lot of passion, a lot of fire, and you know, this thing about, you know, remaining with a youngish outlook. I think it's a great thing. I am certain it can help with longevity. That's just me saying. It's not proven. It's not going to, Professor Brian Cox is not here to disprove me. So until then, but that's what I think anyway. So, well, you know, this is coming to the end of this podcast, and it's been a bit of a strange one, but, you know, a little bit of a ramble and stuff, going through the old two-tone thing and about what it means to people and how it has inspired, and, you know, it will continue to do so. It really will. So I think we're going to play out with Ghost Town, are we? That's what we're going to do. We're going to play out with Ghost Town. That's what we're going to do. Because it's probably... I mean, for me, Too Much Young was the better single, the better number one. But there's just something about Ghost Town that's completely eternal, isn't it? And there you go. That's where it is. So, basically, thank you for joining me this week on this strange little podcast. And we're back with guests and stuff in the coming weeks. Keep your eyes peeled. This has been Paul Willard from The Scapones on The Scapones Sound of Podcast, episode 13. I am Two-Tone signing off. This is The Specials. Have a good week, kids. Ta-ra now. Bye-bye.
to listen to old men talking amongst themselves?
You've got the Scapone's Sound Off Podcast.